secure by classical music, metal fences that bar the public from two-thirds of the sidewalk, but increase business not a bit. Harassment tickets for sitting, leaning, and even petitioning are not enough for the good burgers of the Downtown Association. They want new laws to give the police ever greater power to remove and target powerless people. You won't hear about this from Dan White of the Sentinel, and you won't hear about the issues of this particular symbol. This is a Heil symbol. It indicates you're acting like a bunch of fascists when it's done. What really I find remarkable is the fact that the council should spend so much time and money to eliminate that gesture, which is constitutionally protected. Why should a gesture cost thousands of dollars? I encourage people to come to federal court, 9 a.m. June 6th in San Jose, and city council will be hopefully there too. Thank you.
I'd like to recognize the gesture.
And that somewhat garbled tape at the end was Keith Sugar, council member, objecting to the fact that I had three times demonstrated the forbidden "You're a fascist" salute, which in essence told council that a member of the public is critical of what they're doing and regards it as repressive. Of course, my response is, if you find it offensive, take a look in the mirror, see what you're doing, or realize it's unjustified and don't worry about it. But of course, they prefer to spend tens of thousands of city dollars defending a lawsuit, or at least thousands of dollars. They spent already, I don't know how many thousand dollars, putting together a 197-page response to our 8-page complaint. And by the way, it's not June 6th, it's June 7th at 9 a.m. in federal court in San Jose. And if you want more information, I'll be putting a new message on the Huff line to give you more specifics about where to go. That is going to be a hearing on the city's motion for summary dismissal, which means they're going to try to get the whole thing kicked out. And the attorneys for the right to speak at city council, to make disparaging gestures at city council even. Can you imagine that? To boo at city council. For the right not to be hamstrung by the decorum rules, provided your gestures and noise are not of sufficient volume and intensity as to really disrupt the meeting, and that's really the key issue here, it seems to me. You have to be able to express your opinion. If you're disrupting a meeting over a prolonged period of time, well, you know, that could be, if you're longer than 5 or 10 seconds, it could be disruptive. It depends on the circumstances. But just simply to show an expression of opinion cannot itself be disruptive. If it is considered disruptive, then you're simply throwing out the First Amendment. And that's what's going to be discussed on June 7th in federal court in San Jose. On June 5th, I will be appearing to get a continuance on my ticket. I haven't yet been able to find a lawyer, and I'm trying to make sure that this obstructing the sidewalk ticket that Sergeant Baker gave me on a citizen's complaint from Sushi Now owner Matisse Selman will be properly dealt with. It's a trivial ticket. I could settle it with an $81 fine if I wanted, but I'm not guilty. And to encourage merchants to file harassment tickets against people just with political tables downtown, I think, is a bad precedent to set. I'm not going to do it. Matisse Selman, of course, can always withdraw the ticket, and he probably will if he has any sense. There's the longest, part of this whole thing is interesting, Sergeant Baker issued the longest infraction police report that I have ever seen in my history in Santa Cruz. I think it's 20 or 25 pages long. An infraction is the most minor kind of crime. There's infractions, then there's misdemeanors, and there's felonies. And this is an infraction. You can't even go to jail for it, although I was put in handcuffs and taken, in essence, into custody because Baker did not want me talking about the issue in public. And Baker has a sensitivity to criticism because I have personally criticized him for, he was investigated by the city council. He was a subject of much controversy back in 1992. And that case, frankly, as far as I'm concerned, is still open, unless you want to believe that 10 women lied when they accused him of sexual misconduct. All 10 women. I don't think so. But the city council, under the wise managership of city manager Dick highest paid official in town, Wilson, dumped it and wouldn't essentially put the no-no on the investigation. And he was, of course, given a clean bill of health by Art Danner's DA department and the Internal Affairs, and I think either the grand jury or the state attorney general's office. So for those who trust those agencies, Sergeant Baker is got a clean bill of health. However, I've observed Baker way back then. He was worse, but he hasn't been particularly good in the last 2 years. He's been going after bicyclists and going after people with signs on the mall and people who are chalking on the sidewalk. He didn't arrest them yet. I want to say this clearly in case Sergeant Baker is listening, but he threatens to do things. And he had me arrested at City Council on March 12th. You might have said he's obliged to, because Mayor Crone said you're a fascist gesture, we don't want to see that gesture, and then refusing to leave the council chambers. But the fact of the matter is, Baker saw the entire thing. He knew that no law was being violated in terms of the actual law under which I was charged. He didn't even know what I was being charged with. They had me arrested before a charge was leveled. And that's simply unconstitutional. It's an abuse of police power. And it's something that Baker has done. It's an example of the kind of abuse Baker does rather regularly. And in this case coming up on June 5th, it will be going to trial later. I don't think it's going to go to trial. I think they're going to drop it. I don't think they want a large dog and pony circus around this, because I will be happy to provide one if I can. And I would encourage members of the citizenry to help out, particularly since the issue of criminalizing poor people downtown is coming up again at, with the issue of the Sentinel doing its big smear job and, using these incidents that happen downtown as a basis for claiming that musicians should be cleared away, that benches should be taken out, and so forth. We needed to have some more reasonable responses to the whole situation, We need to consider things like conflict resolution for having a mediator, having an ombudsperson downtown. We need to do things like codes of conduct that have been successful with street musicians. But mostly what we need is a situation where people, where there's a fairer distribution of power. You're not going to get a lot of these changes until there's a fair distribution of power. Though it has to be said that when folks come to city council meetings in numbers, such as the marimba players, people like Crone and Sugar and even Fitzmaurice and Porter start paying attention. There is a potential council majority to do stuff if enough people show up. So to some extent, it's up to us folks to organize and to go down there in massive numbers. And I was talking earlier about a tent city and trying to get a tent city going, since you don't really have a tent city at all. You had Camp Paradise before it was washed away. Now, as you can hear, there's a lot of internal controversy about not just the Camp Paradise leadership, but it's limited to 12 people, and it's sitting on a church site. And the people that want to be there are even kind of being forced to leave because of internal factional problems and the kinds of disputes that happen when you have, frankly, one-man leadership. I suppose it could happen with group leadership, too. But it seems to have been a pattern with the one-man leadership. And frankly, I don't think it's just Larry Templeton, I think that it could happen with anybody. I talked to Larry about this myself. I said, that you need a more democratic process, because it's too much for one person to handle. It really is. And it's not a good thing. It leads to accusations, some of them which are true and some of which are false. You need to have a shared leadership, and hopefully a second camp will have that. And it's too bad that Paul Lee is simply backing Larry Templeton and the authoritarian leadership approach. And I don't say that with any hostility toward Larry as a person. I just don't agree with it, and I don't think it's a good idea. And I think that people who are Larry's in a position of power in Camp Paradise, and what he says goes. And if you don't, you go. I mean, if it doesn't go with you, then you go, is kind of the problem. And that means that people can't express themselves freely. In the Santa Cruz, it's a particularly nasty situation because there's a sleeping ban, and therefore people don't really have other options. So they're like in a situation where they get coerced because of, not Larry per se, but because of the nature of the laws. If there are encampments that are kind of recognized by the authorities and tolerated, or that have formed together and they have to be tolerated because they have a certain amount of power, And in a way, the city council becomes legally liable. If they're going to start criminalizing people in a more overt way who have formed their own encampments using city camping laws, they're going to face legal problems. I really think so. That's why I would love to see people get together and try to, you know, pick up where Camp Paradise left off, only learning from the mistakes that it's made. There are attorneys now, I think, who are willing to step in and help out. At least one of them, Chris Fredrickson, I know, has been willing. She's still working on the Camp Paradise appeal. In fact, I'm going to try to reach her and see if we can hear how she's doing in terms of her work. It's a Sunday, so we may not be able to get through, but it's a possibility. She's also a softball fan, so, and softball coach, and so she gets into that kind of stuff. And we'll see if we can get through to her. See if we can get through to anybody on this phone. Sometimes it's problematic. And in case you want to get in touch with us after this call is over, we're at 427-3772, and you're tuned to Free Radio Santa Cruz at 96.3. And I'm doing the ringy-ding here and see if I can get a little action here. Let's see here. As you can hear, it's ringing, but I think we're probably out of luck on this Sunday. It sounds like there's nobody there. Yeah. So we'll try again next show, perhaps, 6 to 8, see if we can get through. We're going to try, I'll also try getting through to the Santa Cruz Service Corps on Sunday. Usually no one's there, but the ever steady and steadfast John Earth, who's worked on these kinds of projects for years, meaning self-run homeless encampments, eco-villages. I had a brief conversation with him before the show began, talking about his thoughts on the issue of how can a campground succeed? What's the next step to take? And he's a little mic shy and hasn't got all his thoughts in order. But he pointed out that that the current Camp Paradise is really not what it was. And he isn't critical of it. He's supportive of it. He's been doing all kinds of work for it and for the Santa Cruz Service Corps. But it's just essentially a bunch of folks who are on county property on a church, and they're, you know, I think we should be pleased that the church is giving them that kind of assistance and that they are, you know, trying to use it to maintain regular jobs and do what they need to do. But it's not what Camp Paradise was, which was, it was an overflow place for homeless people. It was a growing community. It was a thorn in the side of the city council that said, do something about homelessness. That's no longer the case in any way. It was a place for people who have been essentially thrown out of their homes by high rents to come and set up a tent and work in that circumstance. That's not at all possible because the folks, the residue Camp Paradise at the Mount Calvary out there in Aptos, there are only 12 of them that are allowed to be there. John Earth, who worked for a long time with Feed the People, which was an in-your-face, on-the-street feeding program run by him and by Sean Alini until Sean's untimely death in the late 90s. John has been working with food programs and working with shelter. He's been really kind of struggling for not just a new vision, but the realization of a vision. We talked to this, Ed. He'd like to see things like making compost toilets legal, using wind power like Dignity Village in Portland, Oregon does, a cheap and expensive wind power generator, hydroelectric generators, satellite communication for internet and TV, yurts, domes can be constructed, hay bale houses. He's got lots of ideas. All I got to do is coax him onto the air. He's a kind of a mic shy guy. But a great guy. He can be reached if you want to talk to him about his ideas at 423-8636, Santa Cruz Service Corps. And he's got a lot of good ideas, and he may not, you know, be the most public speaker type fellow, but he's done a lot of thinking on this issue, and it's certainly worth, he's got a lot to share, and I hope that eventually we can get that shared. Now this. We'll be right back.
about 4:30. We're here at, again, at Earth Day. Just a minute, Steve. Aren't you going to speak to former Mayor Fitzmaurice and tell him you approve of his behavior?
Oh, no, not at all.
Or disapprove of his behavior?
Well, certainly.
Well, here's your opportunity. You can have a casual chat with him and see who he's going to arrest next.
And I'm talking about Mayor Fitzmaurice, who is at the next table in San Lorenzo Benchlands over from me. We were both at Earth Day. I was handling the Huff table, and he was handling a table against capital punishment, on which issue I happened to agree with him and actually signed his petition. However, this was also shortly after he had had me arrested at City Council for my "you're acting like a bunch of fascists" gesture, and this is more of the discussion from that Earth Day.
It might be me.
Well, if you're the lucky winner, it might be. Actually, it's a mellow day out here, I must say. Are you taking off?
No, I just want to get something warmer.
You okay?
Yeah.
You were a Green Party member until you met Councilmember Fitzmaurice. What do you mean?
I came to Santa Cruz as a registered Green. I had my Green bumper sticker on my car. I was overjoyed to see all the Nader stickers. But when I saw what the Green Party in Santa Cruz represented by not sanctioning the mayor, who is ostensibly a Green himself, I was so disgusted that I jumped parties and joined the Peace and Freedom Party.
Well, here's your chance to make up with former Mayor Fitzmaurice. He's over there. He's waiting to embrace you. He's trying to be peaceful. Here you are, bad-mouthing the poor man. Now, just because he arrests the occasional homeless activist is no reason for you to have a chip on your shoulder.
You know these shirts that go around with Bush's picture on it that say he's not my president?
Yeah.
Well, he's not my city council member, and that's all I have to say.
I see. Well, thank you very much there, Greg. So, we're talking with
Valerie.
And you were saying that you said the city has a sort of a progressive veneer, but a conservative core?
Ultra-conservative core. Yeah. We talked to most of the renters in the area. There's absolutely no rent control. You buy a house and there's a freeze, you know, that you pay your monthly payment mortgage, but for renters, the rents keep going up higher and higher and higher. I've had 3 rent increases to the tune of like $200 a pop with no improvement, and if you complain, you have what you do is you get an eviction notice, you know, a 30-day, well, you don't like it here, move, and where are you going to go?
Well, what Councilmember Fitzmaurice, who's at this next table, will tell you is they can't talk about rent control because the landlords might raise the rents.
Well, the landlords are raising the rents, so wake up. The rents are going up on a regular basis.
Well, he would tell you, we tried to pass rent control in 1982 and it failed, therefore we're not going to try again until we're sure we're going to succeed.
Oh, well, I would sign a petition to get rent control back on the ballot and go out and all the renters I know would really like
it. If Morris came out for rent control, you would have it on the ballot next time for sure, because all you need are 4 votes at city council. So maybe what you do is walk up to him and tell him opposing capital punishment is nice. We all do, probably, most of us here. But what about doing something substantial that will actually stop people from dying in the streets in Santa Cruz, like rent control?
Well, that would be great, because then people wouldn't have to live in their car and work at 2 jobs.
And, of course, because if it's Morris, living in your car is criminal. He voted in order to keep the sleeping ban on and sleeping a crime in Santa Cruz.
Well, what are you supposed to do?
Move to Fresno, of course.
Well,
show some respect for the neighborhoods.
I don't know. They might kill you in Fresno.
I want to make a comment.
Yes.
Is there any room, though, for a middle ground? Because surely I can see the need for some regulation, though.
Oh, yeah. I mean, no one has said that it should be completely unregulated. The question is, should there be legal places anywhere for people to sleep? And Fitzmaurice says no, in terms of any public property. In other words, even though his own homeless issues task force, which was city council paid $10,000 to give recommendations, said yes, and they cited a whole list of places. He, after one vote where they did vote to set up the industrial zones, once they lost the vote of the 4th council member in the summer of 2000, they didn't bring it up again, even though in the next election they gained more support and could have passed it. So he's refusing to, in essence, move on the sleeping ban. But
when you go up to him and ask for a compassionate response, I know he'll stand up and say something.
Yeah, but surely he has some rationale. I mean, it's just not a... It's not.
Well, as President Bush says, we're out there to get those terrorists, you know? I mean, the terrorists have got... They're a problem in our country. Now, his rationale is the neighborhood belongs to the people who rent there. There are no solutions. Homelessness is a national problem, except for their solutions are broader, and we can't find them here. We're doing all we can. We're building a family shelter. It's been tried and doesn't work. There is no political will. He's got 100 different possible rationalizations. The basic problem he has is, however, he's fundamentally uncomfortable with the idea of homeless people having basic civil rights. That's my impression.
Okay. I can think of another issue, though, and this is coming from myself, somewhat of an outsider, but I have traveled throughout North American cities, and I've seen various models.
Your name is?
Michael. And what strikes me about Santa Cruz is... I'm a star now. Well, anyway, what strikes me about Santa Cruz is...
Strike him, will you?
Yeah. It has this veneer of somehow being hip and hippie-ish and...
Artsy, and oh, so progressive.
But what I always say is it's kind of Southern California masquerading as something else, as the North or something more progressive, but I don't find that at all, as this woman
said.
Well,
what about you? Do you favor ending the sleeping ballots? Well, you're prepared to go over there and tell Councilmember Fitzmaurice it's time to shit or get off the pot, so to speak?
Well, I don't think that's going to change things. He'll probably just blank it out, but I think there should be some middle ground. We need some regulation.
Well, tell him that.
Well, I could, but he's no doubt heard this before. Can't you go around him? I mean, is he where the buck stops?
Well, he's one of seven council members, but he's the one who's here and who's the most available at the moment. But I appreciate your point of view. Anything you want to add?
Not really, no. I guess just to summarize, I think there is a need for some respite, some resources for the homeless, but with regulation.
Thank you.
Sure.
Hey, Whisper, what's your name?
Valerie.
All right, just want to make that clear.
Yes.
Anything you wish to say?
I don't really want it recorded because I get shy, but we have a friend named Todd, and he told us about a service corps that they're working with the homeless, and that they're able to start living in the park grounds. They're at a church on Park Avenue, but then they're going to be able to move from there to the different park grounds for 2 weeks at a time, and then they can rotate in and out of the other.
Well, there's been a minor exception made to the camping ordinance, which allows groups which have $1 million worth of liability insurance and meet 8 other requirements, and I can show you those requirements, and they're rather extensive, as well as passing the Jim Lang Likes You test. He's the Fuhrer for Parks and Rec, the Czar, actually. I reserve Fuhrer for Councilmember Fitzmaurice, who's given us the decorum rules, but that's not the story. So you can actually talk to Larry Templeton, who's the fellow with the hat, who can tell you what the deal is. But as far as I know, they're now tied up in negotiations about bylaws, and you have to know the Santa Cruz Service Corps' eligibility requirements.
I see. So what you're saying is they make you jump through a lot of hoops before...
No one has been able to do this yet, and it's...
I have a big comment about that. There's something fundamentally wrong with the system. I went down just to help my son fill out paperwork, just to change his name. And everything is so convoluted and so litigation-oriented that in order to find out where to sign a name on a line, no one at the county could tell me that information. They said, we can't give you that information.
It's legal advice.
It's legal advice. So, you know, I think we're so enmeshed in legal advice and all this other stuff, you know, run by attorneys and all this other stuff, that the reality is the people who are the government are getting the big kick in the butt. And
we need some illegal advice, I think. And that's what I'm all about this summer, trying to do this, you know, campaign against the sleeping ban, which would essentially involve civil disobedience, probably.
Well, I don't want to go on record, but maybe we need some civil disobedience, because not just with homelessness, but there's a larger problem that's happening, I think, nationwide, perhaps worldwide, and until we address that, things are only going to get worse. And, you know, it's one thing to look at one group of people and say, oh, well, those are homeless people, but you know what? The middle class are becoming the homeless people. Everyone has a potential for, a lot of people are one paycheck away from being homeless, and when you're a renter and things just keep getting worse and worse and worse, and there's nowhere to go, what do you do? I mean, what do you do?
Move to Fresno. What's your problem? You can't make it here. What, are you going to sponge off everybody else, you welfare cheat?
I'm not a welfare cheat. I've worked hard.
She always says
that. I pay taxes.
I have a question for you, Robert. You're obviously working through the machinery of City Council, and getting ground up by the machinery of City Council. I'm not really working through it. I'm suing them. That's what I'm doing. They had me arrested and removed from City Council, so I'm suing them.
Okay, but that takes a lot of energy and resources from you, and from what I understand of progressive movements in other countries, developing countries, I seem to be hearing of a lot of headway, a lot of progress being made once they manage to step out of the government bureaucratic domain, right, and not waste that energy fighting bureaucrats. And I'd like to see that happen here, and I thought the Service Corps were moving in that direction. Obviously, there are obstacles being thrown in front of them, but it seems if you can somehow step outside of the bureaucratic rigmarole, you have a lot more headway.
Catholic people are kind
of, yeah, that, well, I've said what I needed to say.
No, I think that makes a lot of sense. Unfortunately, they are now working within the system, not outside the system. They started outside the system. Now they're inside the system. We can't bear those people.
Yeah.
As long as they're favored by people like Fitzmaurice, or actually, Fitzmaurice doesn't favor them, but the majority of the council does. So they're likely to, get some favor. But the vast majority of homeless people are not being positively affected by this. They don't have the options in Camp Paradise.
It's only about 10 or 20 people anyway.
Right.
A maximum of 15 can be dealt with at any one park, any one time. And you have to have this nonprofit cover, and all these sanitation police requirements have to be met. So thank you, Mike, and thank you, Susan.
We are having signed up Mark Levy for the Right to Sleep Summit. We now have Miguel Balderos.
I was drinking some beers early this morning with some traps, and they said that this one guy named Butch found a body of an older guy in a fetal position between...
Damn,
I smell like... What's the smell? The smell like a dead body. They found this body of this older dude at this camp between Schaefer Road and Weston Drive down the gulch, right off Highway 1, and he was in a fetal position. He was an older dude. He had his whole stomach was eaten out by probably animals or something like that, and that was 7 months ago. So when I heard this, I called the police, and I had the police come down there, and they checked the area out, and it was like a lot of old homeless camps there. They couldn't find anything. They said this body was under this tarp. So what I'm going to do right now is I'm going to go down there with my road dog, and we're going to go scour the whole area and see if we find this dude, because he's probably down there dead somewhere. They just did a little fucking precursory search, not really that much of a search. Don't know if any foul play was done or whatever. It could have been some homeless guy just died. It was pretty old. They say it was pretty old. He had a gray beard or whatever. And
how many people told you they actually saw the body?
Three.
And these are three people who told you independently, or you?
They told me, bro, was drinking beers right off of, what's that place, right off of Mission, that, not New Leaf, what is that? West Side Foods, or whatever the fuck they call that. John Hope Electric, there's a little patio over there where all the tramps come early in the morning and they drink. And they said, yeah, they found the motherfucker 7 months ago. And,
did they think he was still there, or what made them?
Yeah, he's still there. No, they was talking about fucking, because they camped out nearby him. They were talking about just burying him somewhere and just leaving him.
I camped nearby him for 7 months.
7 months, and I just found out about it. And the cops came down there. They looked. They did a small little search, and they didn't find anything. So what I'm going to do before the sun goes down, it's 17:18. I'm going to give it a go down there right now, and I'm going to go do a very good thorough search. My buddy said he smelled a dead body down there.
You can get Scott Kennedy to go with you.
Yeah, we'll get Scott Kennedy to come down.
Fitzmaurice is here.
Fitz Nazi. Fitz Seacow. Fuck you, Fitzmaurice. You eat shit and die, motherfucker. Anyway.
Don't tell the tape recorder. Tell Fitz. He's over there. Man.
Yeah, he's right there. This Green Party right-wing Nazi punk motherfucker. Anyway, that's his problem. But I'm going to go down there right now. In fact, I'm going to leave and go scour the whole area. And I have a cell phone, so I can call the police. And they told me, yeah, okay, check the place out. If you can see anything, dead body, whatever. And
I want a full report from you.
Yeah, and you know, because it's almost near my camp. My camp's about 400 yards from there.
Thank you, Miguel.
Right.
Or should I say, Matt?
We already found one body. Mark, that dude that they said that, remember I called you up about that? They found that body off the ocean off Henry Cowell Beach that was been in the water for a while.
Vaguely?
Yeah, and they said they fucking, there was no foul play here. You know, it was like he was all beaten, all the pulp, bloody pulp, and his head's all bashed in. He was naked, and they just like, and it wasn't even the Santa Cruz Sea now. Nothing, you know.
Santa Anil?
Yeah, this. Shit like this happens every day here. You know, they don't want the tourists to find out about anybody, often any homeless people or something like that. Something's fucked up in this town. It stinks like fucking all the high heaven.
And you're gonna find out the latest.
I'm gonna find out the truth and whatever, and do what I gotta do. And if there's any foul play or whatever the fuck, whatever the hell, if there's any troll busters out there doing any homeless people, come to my camp, motherfucker. I'm waiting for you. I'm gonna do you, baby.
Thank you, Leo.
Yeah, that was way back in April on Earth Day. I didn't get a follow-up report from Miguel on that issue, so if anybody knows about that incident and has more info, please give a call to, you can call on air if you want, 427-3772, or you can call the Huff line at 423-HUFF, 423-4833. When I was downtown about 3 weeks ago, I ran into a couple of cops doing a, well, I guess you'd call it a speed trap if it were in cars, but they were standing across from the Sushi Alley, Baba's Cafe, New Leaf area, essentially waiting for bicyclists to ride the wrong way up Pacific Avenue and then stop them and give them tickets for at least $80, probably up to $160. I came upon them as they were ticketing, as two cops were ticketing three guys, and then started ticketing more people. Maybe it was two guys. And this is the this is what happened.
Okay, it's about 10 to 2 on May 12th, 2002. We're in front of, across the street from the Alibaba's Cafe. Officer Brandt and the second officer are writing citations to three bicyclists. Your name?
My name is Victor.
And you are?
It's Kyron.
And you are?
Micah.
And you, I don't need necessarily to confess anything. Your bikes are pointed the wrong way, though.
Yeah, during an environmentally safe, sound way of riding a bicycle. And we get a ticket for going the wrong way.
Facing traffic.
Yeah. There's no warning signs, no warning to me. This is the first time I've been riding down here in Santa Cruz. There's no, it's not common sense. Yes. Can't be.
And Officer Brandt confirms it's not posted on the sidewalk. Bicycle tickets here in Santa Cruz, folks. Check it out. Your police officers at work.
Ride my bike.
How long have you been in town?
About 3 days.
And so you weren't given a warning. Where are you from?
Auburn. West Sacramento.
Are you all from that area?
He is too. Yeah, I've been living here for the past 9 months, so I come down and visit him.
So have you had this kind of encounter in other cities?
No, not at all. Never gotten a ticket before for riding my bike. Stopped on my bike ever.
Only in Santa Cruz, folks, you get tickets for biking the wrong way.
See you on the job.
Hey, don't bike this way. They just got tickets.
They're banned. They don't give warnings.
Right.
Yeah.
No warning in Santa Cruz from the police if you bike the wrong way, folks. Keep that in mind.
Your time.
Your taxpayer dollars at work.
and their fines. They get to come back and pay these fines later. So the bail on these tickets is probably around $80, could be more. So,
you don't know how much.
Do you have the ticket?
I do.
Let's see what it looks like. Taking a look at one of these yellow tickets. Criminal behavior in Santa Cruz, folks. Biking the wrong way. No warning, just a bike ticket. And I think this is about an $80 ticket for going the wrong way on a bicycle on the street. Who's the menace here? The citizenry or the police?
It's understandable, but if it were posted, then that would be fine. But it's out of nowhere, and there's no warning. I mean, it's not like I was, like, doing it deliberately to, like, offend someone.
You're like a pretty hard-eyed criminal to me.
Thanks. Have a good day.
You too.
Yeah. Sorry about that.
Two people are being detained here for serious criminal action, folks. Biking the wrong way in Santa Cruz. $80 plus tickets here for biking the wrong way. It's okay if you get into a traffic jam, but don't bring your bike downtown and bike the wrong way. No warning, just $80 tickets for biking the wrong way. Your police department at work. Check it out. I wonder if they would ticket this man and his son for biking. Now, that could be a serious matter. You can give him two tickets over there, officer, a man and his child. No, they're not. They're walking their bike. But would they have done that if somebody hadn't shouted? I don't know. There's no warning sign here, officer. They're just issuing tickets. Like sausages, grinding out tickets in Santa Cruz. Your taxpayer dollars at work, folks. Check it out. Perhaps the motto is, we want cars but not bikes in Santa Cruz. Why is there a city policy to harass bicyclists in Santa Cruz? Perhaps these officers can tell you. But they haven't yet. Watch out. Bike tickets here. Watch out. Uh-oh, another bike ticket is coming up. Here's another criminal being stopped. Or will this person get a differential warning? Whereas two people got tickets, she'll only get a warning, you see, because now publicity is on this. This could be an opportunity to make some real money for the police department today, folks. Man says he can't pay the ticket. Police harassing bicyclists here in Santa Cruz. No warnings, just tickets. Check it out. A great lesson for tourists. Don't bring your bicycles to Santa Cruz. The police will talk to you. City Council is planning to keep a full budget for the police department but cut the social services. Better not try to provide your own social services by bicycling. You'll get ticketed. Thank you. Another ticket for bicycling over here, folks. Maybe we need everybody to get on their bikes and head this way. How about a criminal conspiracy to bike? Come on, everybody. Tickets for bicycling in Santa Cruz, the wrong way. Good luck.
All right.
Sorry about that. Sorry about all that.
Yeah, no problem. What's your name?
I'm Robert.
It's Kyron. Very nice to meet you.
The word on this is? Complete bullshit.
I've been to so many towns, and I've never had this happen. I never thought it would happen in Santa Cruz.
Thank you. A bicycle ticket here for bicycling briefly on the sidewalk. Check it out, folks. Major criminals are being stopped here in Santa Cruz. Thank God for the police. Check it out here. Two police officers helping maintain the public order by ticketing bicyclists.
to where your money is going? Right here. Is it a stabbing? Is it a rape? No, it's a bicycle crime. Check it out. Santa Cruz. You see squad cars parked one here, two up there. Why is that, folks? Because there are bicycle crimes right here. There's this dangerous bicycle criminalist. She needs some kind of supervision. Luckily, she's getting her lesson. Watch out. They will give you a ticket. Two more criminals, folks. More tickets. Check it out, folks. More bicycle tickets coming up. Or could it be a differential warning this time? So that some get tickets and some get warnings, depending on the preferences of the officers. I'm glad we have some officers in command here who can give us the tickets we need for these criminal bicyclists. Boy, there, look at this. These dangerous bicyclists have got to be stopped. Up, there's a baby carriage. Up, no, I guess that's out of bounds. Tickets for bicycling in Santa Cruz. Santa Cruz, the friendly city that knows how to give a ticket. Check it out. Who told these two officers to stand here and give tickets to bicyclists without warnings? I don't know. But that's what they're doing. Thank you.
So it's about 2:05. We're on the corner of Pacific and Lincoln.
Hey, before you take off, what's your name?
Emily.
Emily, what happened?
I was riding my bike because I like to save the environment and ride my bike, and these cops decided to give me a ticket because I was riding on the sidewalk for approximately 10 feet. Yes, 10 feet, and I got a ticket for riding my bike.
I would also like to apologize myself because I'm making a point of it, they are ticketing everybody who comes along here, so you can also blame me, but I think...
No, I don't blame you. That was the cop's decision, not yours. You were just making the obvious what was going on, and I think you were doing a very good job making a lot of the tourists aware of how ridiculous the cops are here, especially like with what happened to Hippie Corner. The cops here are just ridiculous to the locals here. It sucks.
What happened there that you found of concern?
They were like, well, before it was shut down, before they fenced it off, like I had a friend who was chilling there on the sidewalk, like up against New Leaf, and she got a ticket for sitting on the sidewalk. She wasn't doing anything, she wasn't like smoking or anything, she was just sitting on the sidewalk, and she got a ticket.
Perhaps some of these same fine officers gave her a ticket.
Yeah, I think so too. I think it definitely could be these great officers.
No, they gave me a ticket for digging the garbage can looking for food. They gave me a ticket.
I want to talk to you about that.
Okay.
All right.
I was looking for
the radio show.
All
right, all things. Have a good day.
Give me a ticket for digging the garbage can.
What's your name?
Jose Perez.
How do you spell your last name? Jose.
Yeah.
Say it again.
Jose Perez.
Perez. P-E-R-E-Z. Perez. And you say you got a ticket for digging in a bicycle can? I mean, digging in a garbage can?
Yeah.
What was that about?
I was digging in the garbage can over there, and the downtown came and said, hey, you see, it's forbidden digging in the garbage can.
What were you looking for?
For food. For food. Only for food. I don't know that. Sorry, I don't know that. But next time, I give you a ticket. Okay. After this, 2 days after, I still digging in the garbage can looking for food. When downtown security see me, they put me with the cops, like, start digging in the garbage can. The police find me, say, hey, come here, I want to give you a ticket. The downtown security report you. You're still digging in the garbage can. If you are one, you understand, I give you a ticket right now.
So, you got a ticket. Do you have that ticket with you, or?
No, I want it, you know.
Are you in a place to live, or are you outside?
Huh?
Do you have a place indoors to live, or outside?
Homeless.
You are homeless?
Homeless.
And you're a Spanish-speaking person?
Yeah.
How is it for a person outside who's Spanish-speaking? Do you find other folks you can stay with outside, or are you by yourself?
Exactly. I don't speak too much English.
¿Está solo o hay
personas
que puede vivir con otras?
Yo vivo solo en mi casa de campaña en las hierbas. Ah, por allá, por el Harvest West, en mi casita.
Any
problems with the police, any problems with the police?
Well, sometimes when I visit another robber for the levy, they get out of here looking company here because I go next and I give you a ticket. They give me a ticket for a sleep over there, they give me a ticket for hang and put in the garbage can.
So how many tickets have you gotten in the last week? Month is
only one for putting me digging the garbage can. I think I go pay in the court. I don't know when I pay in the court ticket for digging the garbage can. It's a stupid thing, you know? Like they wrote it.
Bueno, si tú quieres, yo tengo un programa, if you want a program.
And that was about a month ago on Pacific Avenue, right across from Alibaba's Cafe. And there was Officer Brand, another officer, giving out ticket after ticket. I was, in fact, putting them on the spot, because if they stopped giving out tickets, it would look like they were being differential. I guess they could have claimed they were going to some other place to do something else. Or perhaps they were just, that was their job. I mean, you know, that's frequently the criticism of police officers in other jurisdictions, is that they're running around just giving out tickets to make revenues for the city without much concern about reasonable law enforcement, which really should be the goal. You're tuned to Free Radio Santa Cruz at 96.3 FM. I'm Robert Norris. This is Bathrobes, Pierres, Broadsides. We do get out on the net at www.microradio.net/FRSC, Free Radio Santa Cruz, in case you happen to leave Santa Cruz and you still want to catch this fine show or other free radio shows and you're out of the area. After all, we are a small but mighty station here. And you can call in and talk with us, 427-3772. HUF, Homeless United for Friendship and Freedom, is a civil rights organization which meets every Wednesday at Baker Square Restaurant. That's right across from Beacon Gas, or is it Beach City Gas? It's something like that, Beacon Beach City. About three blocks up from Denny's on Ocean Street. Everyone's invited. If you're concerned about civil rights for homeless people, if you're homeless, can't afford coffee, we will kick down for the coffee. That's Wednesday, 8:30 in the morning. If you have some problems, if you have some concerns, most important, if you want to get together with other homeless people to do things like set up a tent city, guarantee that the cops are try to make a stand against police harassment, futile as it may sound, it's something we do. And come on in and offer your expertise and offer your help and give us the benefit of your experience, and we'll all sit down and do some talking and maybe some organizing. 8:30 in the morning every Wednesday. You get more information if you want to call the HUF line, Homeless United for Friendship and Freedom, 423-HUF. I'm also proud to announce the actual appearance or reappearance of the HUF website on the internet. It is at www.hufsantacruz.org, www.hufsantacruz.org. Santa Cruz, all one word, small letters, HUFF, Santa Cruz, .org. And it's still really in the process of construction, but there's some interesting stuff there. Particular tip of the hat to Green Party and HUF activist Thomas Levitt, who has done a lot of work. Some tip of the hats to Jeff the Fiddler, who did some work on this early on, and to Carl Wilson, who in the earlier days was plugging along trying to help us as well. Today is Gay Pride Day. If you want to find out what's cooking with HUF, you might go down to the Green Party table. I think it's San Lorenzo Park that they're all going to, if I'm not mistaken. Although it could be one of the other parks. It was mentioned earlier in the broadcast. And there's a scheme afoot by some seditious terrorist HUFsters to deal with the reality as well as the threat. Well, the reality of bench removal and, of course, homeless removal downtown. But they're also getting rid of benches. I mean, homeless people don't count, of course, but benches are very important. And they've removed about half the benches that have been put in since the earthquake, according to Food Not Bombs activist Brian Koepke. And you may have noticed that when the folks from Hippie Planter, now Yuppie Planter, or Yuppie Fenced-In Planter, whatever you want to call it, in front of New Leaf Market, were driven away. They went across the street to the cookie company, the Pacific Cookie Company, and the benches there were immediately taken out. And then they went across the borders, and a bench there was taken out. So the benches are being bench-napped. It's a real serious situation, folks, and no one has any compassion for these poor benches. So we've decided, HUF has, to establish a series of bench guards. And we're going to have junior bench guards and then senior bench guards and special awards for special bench guarding. We're going to be working on this whole much-overlooked problem of guarding the benches downtown against bench molestation and bench abuse, which seems to be a problem. For some reason, Parks and Rec moves in at the crack of dawn or the dark of night, I'm not sure when they do it, and they remove these benches, and nobody is warned about it. There's no public hearing, there's no input. They just disappear. Rumor has it, I'm sure it can't be true, but that merchants with the Downtown Association have some connection with the removal of these benches. Can you imagine that? I mean, some people are suggesting that merchants don't like homeless people downtown. The idea that we are providing benches there simply facilitates them. It kind of it enables their homelessness, you see. Don't you understand? So we want to, well, give a round of applause to those merchants, but one, I mean, actually these are these, of course, are nasty rumors that the Downtown Association is secretly removing benches, which would not only impact the unworthy and grubby homeless and the evil and vicious young people, but also, you know, older people who live down there who do appreciate a bench or two to sit down on. After all, Marty Wormhout, John Laird, Mike Rotkin, all these fine old guard types, Scott Kennedy, pulled out all the brick planters so that we don't have the old mall that we had before the earthquake. Instead, we have this new ramrod straight cement mall, which doesn't have the seating spaces. But before, we were assured, though, that there'd be lots of benches. In fact, more benches than before. Of course, now there are far less benches than before, and we have to assign a real Inspector Clouseau to find the missing benches. And he will do so soon. That's soon. Very soon. So if you want to join Inspector Clouseau and help to deal with this bench problem, you can also contact Huff at 423-HUFF, 423-4833. I talked earlier, mentioned the Emily Riley's infamous 5 to 7 a.m. no parking signs in Harvey West, which she introduced and had put up without a public hearing, in violation, actually, of the City Council's directive that no new signs were really to be put up until the Master Transportation Study was finished. This was something that was decided when the Homeless Issues Task Force was meeting a couple years ago, and the cops tried to sneak through anti-homeless signs on Almer Avenue. And that met with the unanimous, hearty disapproval of the Homeless Issues Task Force. Even such low-profile, we-ain't-gonna-rock-the-boat types as Ken Cole, the head of the Homeless Services Center, opposed it, and the City Council backed off, and that was cool. However, nowadays, the Council has swung around to the position of, it sounds like, almost the Harvey West Association, which is doing some strange things. I got a call from Kathy Grego, who is a homeless activist with a sort of a de facto Homes on Wheels group. You may remember her. She had her vehicle and her dog, several vehicles actually, towed away by police. She had confrontations with different officers, including the redoubtable Officer Eric Seeley, the Homeless Resource Center officer, who's the man who has a permanent smirk on his face. That man has got to do something about that. I mean, somebody tell him it's not always a laughing matter. I mean, it's nice to see that positive perspective, but when I watched that smirk on his face throughout the memorial for the homeless dead, it was really, it was sad in a different kind of way. Anyway, Kathleen has had a number of run-ins with Seeley, and she and other police officers, because she and Danny sleep in their vehicle out in the Harvey West, in spite of the fact that the Harvey West has been given the social cleansing program, compliments of Emily Riley and Fitzmaurice and the other not-in-our-backyard council members, as well as the Harvey West Association and Don Hubbard. And he's been doing some pretty nasty stuff, too. Wrote a very, very harsh editorial in the Santa Cruz Sentinel, which I tried to reply to, but the editor of the Sentinel, Tom Honig, is, for some reason, did not return my calls. Actually, it's kind of unusual because Sentinel has, in the past, allowed me to write, but for some reason, not on this occasion. I don't know why. But anyway, Kathy called in twice in the last 24 hours. And what she told me was that for her first question was a legal inquiry, and her second was a kind of a scornful report. And the inquiry was this. She had found posted above her vehicle on a sign that said no parking between 5 and 7 a.m., and she wasn't there, apparently, during those hours, or I'm not even sure what was on the sign other than what she saw posted above, which was a handwritten sign saying, no camping, warning, we will call the police, something to that effect. So this in the old days, we had troll busters, you know, the sort of public-spirited thugs who would go out and beat up homeless people. Now we just have folks who want to disrupt couples that have nowhere to sleep but in their vehicles and get them out of the neighborhood. You know, we don't want their kind around here. And that report apparently has come in that there are these handmade signs, at least one handmade sign, showing up different places. I mean, we should make some of our own handmade signs. I've always suggested that signs which announce the camping ban should also have a few creative additions to them. Of course, I don't want to be suggesting felony vandalism, because Jim Costner, as you know, although he wielded quite a hammer when he smashed the Columbus statue over there in San Jose, and I'm not suggesting that for us here, but if you engage in felony vandalism that causes damage of more than $400, any vandalism which does that is called a felony. And felonies are very serious. You know, they send you to prison for that kind of stuff, even though you may essentially be engaging in First Amendment activity and actually be contributing a service to the society by countering the kind of bigotry that seems to be mainstream these days in Santa Cruz. Lots of stuff in the papers that I kind of wanted to get to. There's a very kind of encouraging article, although it's still the Sentinel, in yesterday's Sentinel on page one by Jason Schultz. Harass suit against Santa Cruz proves costly. Nightclub owner claims city and police targeted business. And this, of course, is about the Blue Lagoon and the harassment efforts of Lieutenant Saponi and the Santa Cruz Police Department to essentially fuck with the Blue Lagoon nightclub. I actually talked to the owner. I've heard the owner. I believe he spoke at the Citizens Police Rah-Rah, or Review Board, as they like to call themselves, complaining about police misconduct. Now he's taken the more sensible course and is taking the city to court. And this is a story, a very rare front-page story about a lawsuit against the city police. And maybe if my attorney wins the summary dismissal hearing, in which I'm suing the city council for a pattern and practice of First Amendment violations, violating the right to speak freely at city council, to have some basic protection, to speak without being interrupted and harassed and criticized and threatened with arrest, then maybe Dan White or somebody else will write a little story about that. But as you know, even when the city council was served with the first ever federal lawsuit, not a word went out in the Sentinel. Not a peep. I finally got a sentence when my vehicle was stolen in the context of that article, but otherwise not a thing has been said. But anyway, this article, I'm going to read a bit of it. The city has spent nearly $280,000 during the past 2 years defending itself against a harassment suit filed by the owner of a popular downtown nightclub. Ann Minshew, owner of the Blue Lagoon at 923 Pacific Avenue, claims police officers have a vendetta against her and their constant harassment is driving away patrons. Police call the allegations preposterous. Nevertheless, the city has spent $279,113 defending itself, said risk manager Jack Hain. Minshew sued the city police lieutenants Patty Saponi and Chief Steve Belcher in August 2000. Minshew alleges that on April 7, 1997, Saponi ordered three officers and a police dog to raid and shut down the dance club because Minshew did not have a proper entertainment permit for a remodeled lounge. The lawsuit, set to be heard August 5th in federal court in San Jose by Judge Ronald White, the same judge, incidentally, that I am appearing before on June 7th at 9 o'clock on the Heil-Krohn Council lawsuit, claims Minshew later complained about the raid to Belcher, and ever since, officers have targeted the bar for strict enforcement. The suit alleges that over the past few years, police have conducted numerous sweeps of the bar, positioned officers in and around the club for hours at a time, and frequently shined spotlights into the bar. The suit claims Minshew has tried to schedule numerous meetings to ask Belcher to end the harassment, but Belcher has ignored her requests. Bar manager Fred Friedman said the harassment continues, though it is not as frequent as it was before the suit. He said officers used to show up at the bar daily. Minshew declined to comment on the suit. Her attorney, Sally Williams, estimated the bar's total damages at $150,000 to $200,000, including $68,000 in lost revenue and $67,000 in lost value to the business from 1997 to 2000. Williams said the club had been steadily making money until the harassment started. Belcher called the allegations against him, Sapone, and the department, quote, completely baseless. He said evidence will show that the police were not targeting the bar, simply responding to calls for service. Those are just flat lies, Belcher said, of the allegations. How do you respond to something that just didn't happen? They can say anything they want. Belcher said he did not have specific information on calls to the club. Interesting. He hasn't got specific information on calls to the club, and he's the chief of police. But said that the 900 block of Pacific Avenue had 585 calls for service between July and December of 2001, resulting in 92 arrests and 16 citations. The Metro bus station is on the same block. In comparison, the 2100 block had 2 arrests during the same period, the 1400 block had 17 arrests, and the 1000 block had 20 arrests. We're going to pause now to take a phone call in accord with our public first policy.
Hi, you're on Free Radio.
Robert.
Yes.
Listen, they're cutting back all the funding for the services, right? But how do they have $270,000 to defend themselves?
And why would they call it a frivolous case if it's going to go to federal court? And they've not been able to get the whole thing dismissed 2 years later. Yeah.
God, well, then hopefully when they're through paying for your case, where will that money come from?
I don't know, but I'm going to Tahiti as soon as possible.
That's preposterous, but they have money to defend themselves. Ain't that something?
There will actually be a third case because even if I lose, which I won't, this blocking the sidewalk case, I will be suing the city for a violation of civil rights, assuming that the attorney continues to agree to take the case.
But they have money to pay that. That's so odd.
Well,
segment you had down there with those ne'er-do-wells ticketing.
And they have money to put up a wrought iron fence, and they have money to pay hundreds of thousands in salary for City Manager Dick Wilson, but they can't pay a living wage to employees.
I guess that's why if you ticket enough bicyclists, I guess they'll have the money to pay it out, huh?
That's it. They're trying to get the bicyclists to help pay their fair share, or their unfair share, as the case may be.
Okay.
Take care.
Take care.
So continuing this story,